Welcome to the CDL People vs. Profit podcast. I'm Andrew Dickens, and in this episode, we're exploring how outplacement makes real business sense. My guest is coach and facilitator from CDL Insight Consulting, Kirsten Nicol. Welcome to the studio.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Well, first of all, tell me what you do.
Well, I'm a coach and facilitator, and that means I work either with groups of people or on a one-on-one basis, and I help people with all sorts of things throughout the career life cycle. A lot of my work is in helping people when their roles have become disestablished, and that's outplacement or transition coaching. And so a lot of that is helping take them from a highly uncertain and uncomfortable situation that they find themselves in, help, I have no job anymore, and then help guide them through that process so that they come out the other side of that feeling confident and ready and armed with the tools, such as a CV that works, and prep them for interviewing, things like that. So all aspects of that transition process.
And how did you learn how to do that?
Well, I'm a trained coach, so I did 4 years of coaching study, and very quickly I realised that my niche was around the career coaching area, so I've done a lot of reading and upskilling and study in that area. I was taken on by CDL 5 years ago, and I've really honed my craft, so now I could do it without the books.
So you're not, great. So you're not the HR guy in, or girl, sorry, in a big organisation. You're actually there to help those people who have gone through the process, come out the other side and want to get back into the workforce.
Yeah. We also do work within organisations that are undergoing transition. We've been doing a big project on that recently with quite a large government organisation. And so it's not just about helping people that are leaving or helping manage the process of leaving. It's also helping in times of change or transition within the organisation. Because obviously a business needs to keep operating and at the same time be planning and redeploying or outplacing people whose roles are no longer required or whose roles have changed significantly.
Right at the beginning I said the word outplacement and you've just said outplacing.
Yeah.
What is outplacement?
Yeah, so it is when a role is disestablished. What does that mean? In the past we used to use the language redundancy. You are redundant. Now, in coaching, language is really, really important. And if you tell a person, oh, hey, you're redundant, what do they feel about themselves? I'm useless. I have no place. Mm. So I'm really careful, first and foremost, if they start talking about that, I'm really careful to correct them.
The job is redundant. The person is not.
The role is redundant, but you are not as a person. Yes, you may not be required in the new organisation going forward or how the old, you know, change is inevitable and restructuring, pruning, honing, shaping, it's happening all the time. So quickly, very quickly, I will help see it's actually not about you. It's about the organisation and its needs.
And when you say outplacement, you're taking that person whose role has become redundant but still has skills and expertise.
Totally.
And you're placing them out and back into another job.
Absolutely. And you're meeting this person at a really vulnerable time. Sometimes, I mean, I work with people over a number of sessions. It's not a one-off. It's not a one-off, 1 hour. It's over a number of sessions usually, and in fact always with CDL. And so what we're doing then is often they'll come in and they are, it's like something they've been hit around the head. They don't know. They're seeing stars. Some of them are very emotional.
Yeah.
Some of them are really angry. And it's about assisting them to deal with that initial shock of what's happened to them and giving them the emotional support and slowly but surely guiding them on that road to where they start to feel, actually, yeah, I have got skills and competencies. Oh, yeah, there are jobs out there. Mm. So we do all of that, you know, from the emotional support and well-being support end of the scale all the way to the nuts and bolts practical.
Can you tell us the angriest employee who'd been whose role had been disestablished, who came to you?
Well, it's really interesting because sometimes people are so angry with how they've been treated that they actually don't even uptake the offer of coaching. And I know that when someone's in that space, they are the people who need it the most. My aim then is to get in the room with them just once. If I can just get them over that line for the first session, ordinarily things will go smoothly after that. And they realise, oh, you're not here to judge me. You're not here to blab about me behind my back to my employer. You're not here to make me feel bad about myself. I can really see that what you're doing is helpful. People have usually one of two reactions. It's either anger or shame or sadness or sort of a more depressed type of. I'd say that's what I get more than anger, to be completely honest.
A lot of these cases, it's being paid for by the employer,
yeah,
who is wanting you to help outplace,
yeah,
the employee whose role no longer exists.
Yeah.
So how does that fit in the equation? You know, it's a triangle of relationship between,
yes,
you, the person being outplaced, and, of course, the employer paying for the whole process.
Yes.
How does that all fit in?
Yeah, so that's a really delicate balance. And some people, as I say, are resentful that this is even happening. Oh, why should I even come along? Oh, I hate them. I don't want anything to do with this organisation anymore. So, as I say, I'm trying to assist them to see, well, actually, your employer is doing you a favour right here, right now, by giving you the support that they know you need to see you gracefully on your way. And I think there's a massive opportunity for organisations here to show that they are a good employer in handling this difficult and potentially, yeah, really damaging situation for not just the employee, but for their brand and their reputation. They're doing their best to handle that in a way. So here I step in, or the other coach or facilitator steps in, and we have to very quickly bring everything down to earth and get the person out of anger, frustration, sadness, stuckness, into saying, actually, we're here to help. You know, yeah, there's no agenda here.
Must be very emotional for you too.
Yeah, although part of being trained to be a coach is keeping boundaries, and it's really, really important, because I can't take on board the emotions or feelings of my client. It's really, really important. If I get down in the hole with them and hug them, I'm not helping them get out of the hole.
Yeah.
That's the best analogy I can give.
Expectations of that person who is being outplaced must be enormous. They've taken up the offer from an employer.
Yeah.
They've come along to you.
Yeah.
You're going to be their salvation. You're going to find them a new job. But in fact, that's not what you do, do you?
No.
You help them,
yeah,
find themselves their own new role.
Yeah, and I think what I love about what I do so much is the complexity of juggling all the various needs and demands, not just for them, but for the organisation as well. And part of that is, as I say, there's the strand of the well-being. You know, are they looking after themselves? Is there any concern I have about their mental or physical safety or health or well-being? So often I'm trying to assist them with that stuff as well, help bring them back to ground emotionally, yeah, help give them the tools and tips and everything, help seeing them go from being this kind of puddle on the floor to starting to walk and then hopefully jogging in the, yeah, direction of their new opportunity. And I've discussed this with other coaches in my network, and we say there's this moment when you're working with a client, you don't know when it's coming, but you trust that it's going to come because you have to make it come. There's this moment when you're working with a client, it's almost like I can see the change coming, yep, over their face, and I go, I'm thinking to myself, we're there, you got it.
Bye-bye.
The fulcrum,
yeah,
the fulcrum has been reached, and now they're on their way. So I'm trying to empower and enable, and that's another thing I can't do if I don't maintain boundaries.
Absolutely.
Because, well, I'm doing the work for them then.
Yeah. Well, eventually that person is going to fire you. Going, oh, right, my eyes are open. I know where I'm going now. I don't need you. You're
exactly
not going to find me my new job.
I'm trying to make myself
redundant.
Yeah, exactly. So if I don't do that by the end of the time we're together, I feel like I would have failed. Thankfully, that's never happened. So, you know, and again, that's what I love about what I do so much, is that taking them from being totally stuck to vulnerable, open, right? Now they're ready to take on some information. Now we can do the practicals, and then we can see them on their way. And so they start galvanizing themselves to action.
COVID-19 has meant that an awful lot of people are needing your services. What have you noticed about the environment?
Yeah, so there's a few things I've noticed, of course. One of the things I've noticed is that there's obviously increased competition for the roles that are available. So there's this air of slightly manic, greater heightened sense of worry and anxiety or anxiousness around, oh my God, am I going to get another job? So it's like more panic. So if anything, I think that emotional support has become even more important.
And a number of the employers are now, they're having to have a degree of outplacement, of redundancy, of redeployment, in a greater level than they've ever had to do before. A lot of them have done it themselves. A lot of them have relied on their own HR departments.
Yes.
Do you think they realise that there is help like CDL Insight around?
I think some do and some don't, but I would say that HR is now stretched so thin. There are just so many functions within an HR role. How can they possibly then develop deep expertise in this one particular area? The other thing as well that you mentioned is this is ongoing. It's not going away. You know, we've become leaner and leaner and more agile as the years have gone on. And if anything, the rate of change is speeding up. So this is kind of something that I think organisations going into the future need to start getting their heads around.
And change, as you say, is constant. And change is good.
Yeah.
And are you seeing through this period of where you're working and where you're talking with people, are you seeing people realising that we are now more nimble and
Totally. There
is so many more opportunities out there, and that in fact we were confined in our vision, and that the word pivots is actually makes sense?
Oh, I'm over the word, but yes. And that's something I'm trying to help people to see as well, is this could be opportunity for you. You've been in this role for however long, and right now it feels like your cuddly blanket and you don't want to take it off. Or you've been sitting there kind of stewing, shall we say? This now, the wool is taken away. You can start seeing, and let's open you up. First of all, we need to help you see what you are good at and what you've developed skill in, and even maybe veer over here for a little meander. To see what opportunity could this present, and what have I always been interested in doing, or what direction would I now like to take my career? So I'm also, you know how I see there are many prongs of what I'm trying to do all at once and often unconsciously with a client, is one of the things I'm trying to do is help them see things beyond where they already are and go out into a greener pasture, into something they haven't necessarily thought of. To do that, you have to feel more confident though as well.
Okay, so we've mentioned the fact that employers should be doing this as well, but they may be a little bit undecided about why. Tell them.
Yes, so I think some employers don't realise the benefits of outplacing people well. Sending them on their way gracefully is the way I like to think of it in my own head. And there's obvious benefits in terms of being seen to be doing the right thing morally by their staff. But again, that's still not enough of a motivator for some organisations. For many, there's obviously the brand reputation protection aspect that we're talking about as well. People talk, you know, and organisations get good reputations and they get bad reputations. So investing in outplacement support for your staff is also a great way to make sure you are seen as an organisation that looks after their employees, that actually cares about them, that actually wants to do the right thing by them. And then you go and get, you know, a good reputation out there in the marketplace, which I think cannot be underestimated. So there's that. But there's also the other thing as well that we haven't touched on yet, and that is around potential legal ramifications of not sending people on their way gracefully. So you've got this angry, emotional, disgruntled employee. Perhaps a bit of a challenging individual who may or may not have other challenges in their life that they're bringing to work and is looking for a place to vent and in looking for somebody to take down with them because they're feeling so vulnerable and so angry. So I think outplacement support can really assist in many cases to avoid personal grievances and other potential litigious issues in organisations. So it's a cost saved and time not wasted. The other thing as well, I think, is when people are being outplaced and it's all been done very well and you've got other employees obviously still trying to maintain business as usual, they're looking at these people who they're leaving in a month, they're leaving in 2 months or whatever, and they're looking to them to see how well this process is being handled.
There's a survivor guilt, isn't there?
There's all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, and they're sitting there and they're also still wondering, am I going to be next?
Absolutely. And oh my God, the organisation's doing a terrible job of this. They're not even supporting people on their way out. Got this lady here who's in tears. This one here's walking around swearing. I'm not, you know. Yeah. So another part of what we do is provide that certainty and comfort and safety, and do not underestimate the human need for that. That's one of our number one psychological drivers.
Also, the employer who's taken this decision often is hurting themselves. You know, the conditions are not good for their business.
Yeah.
Their heart is broken. They never wanted to lose these people. So I guess you have to help counsel them through their emotions as well.
Yeah, and so we offer a variety of programs. Some are aimed at the employee level, some are the sort of middle or team leader, then you've got middle managers, senior managers. We work with all strands of a business, and that's the consultative approach coming in again. You know, what's your need? What's your time frame? What messages are you getting out there? What, you know, what's your plan for change? And who needs to be involved, and how do they need to be involved, and what resources and support do they need going through? So there's multiple and multifaceted need within an organisation. We can step in, provide that certainty. We can step in and we can go, right, you got these 10 people you're wanting to, whose roles have been disestablished. What about their managers? What about all the... So we look at it from a holistic perspective like that. And so then the employer can go, yay, someone else who's an expert in this area has got, they got our back.
In general terms, without mentioning names, is there any bigger case that you've actually dealt with that you've felt particularly satisfied with?
Yeah, oh, look, my work's always satisfying, but I have one particular case in mind. And I hadn't been working for CDL for very long. This is a few years ago now. This organisation was closing down a plant and had various locations and worked with a large number of employees whose roles were being disestablished. And so we had a team who were involved in assisting with that process. And this was one of the ones where there was assistance at all levels of the organisation, even working alongside the HR department to help them in an area that was not their area of expertise, to help them create the whole plan. So this was in play probably about a year, maybe 18 months. So it was quite a long a long process. We did workshops, we did one-on-one coaching, we did coaching that, and workshops that focused on the senior management and then the employees themselves. So anyway, that organisation, they went on to win an award at the HR Industry Awards for the way they'd handled their change management and their staff development through this stage. So the kudos that they got as an employer for that, I don't know about you, but if I was shopping around for a job, I would be looking to those examples. You know, culture is everything in an organisation.
You said brand reputation. I had no idea there was an HR award.
Yeah.
For restructuring.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So this is big. It was really big because there were some fireworks. Can you imagine? Large-scale closures, and the emotions were running high. Walked into a workshop. Some of the people didn't even want to stay. I had to do everything I could to even get them to engage, start to engage in the process. And that's not uncommon, but it was fireworks there. And so we brought in a number of us to, right, okay, let's go back to the drawing board. These people are obviously not at the stage for this. We need to do something else. So you would use the word pivot. We pivoted. and the outcome was, you know, as good as it could be in the circumstance.
Well, on the other side of the ledger, is there a success story for an individual?
Yes. I have so many to share, but one of my favourite ones was a man who, English was not his first language, and he came to New Zealand, I'd say in his early 20s. He's probably about my age, which is not young. And he worked in a kind of a team leader, foreman type role. And he had an okay CV. His written English wasn't fantastic. And we worked together to give him a really good CV, prep him for interview, build up a great rapport. He had 7 job offers by the time I had finished working with him. So, and he wrote me the loveliest evaluation. He was so grateful for the help he'd got, and I will never forget him. Yeah, and there's lots of stories like that.
Now, you've talked about some big companies and big restructures, you know, and you're talking, but there's a lot of people who have a small, the backbone of New Zealand industry is small and medium-sized enterprises.
Right.
And we're talking, you know, 5 to 25 people.
Yep.
Have you worked with smaller companies? And what's the benefit for a smaller company coming to a company like CDL?
Well, in some ways, a smaller company, your reputation may be even more important because you're likely to be in a highly competitive environment. And yes, definitely, we've worked with a number of those. And one, for example, that I'm thinking of in my mind, we've worked with them over a number of years. And again, it was sort of rolling out placement scenario. And the people who were there knew that their line of work was being phased out. So really hard for them to carry on business as usual while they can see people leaving. So in that respect, really, really important to manage internally that feeling of certainty and structure. We got this. You know, we got this. It's okay. You're going to be looked after. So as people were leaving and they could see their, you know, the colleagues that were leaving, getting jobs, finding new opportunities, the people that were staying. And people talk. Obviously they talk. In a small organisation, they probably talk even more. So people talk to their colleagues who are leaving. In many cases, if people have been working together a long time, they're friends, they stay in touch. So those places that the people who've left are off to, you know, they provide inspiration for the people who are staying and give them hope that, well, it's not going to be so bad. So in some ways, the people who leave are loosening up the others.
It's also, in a funny old way, a form of networking.
Sorry.
So, you know, you've got 5, 10, 15 employees and you're sort of scaling it all down, and then you've employed at CDL to help out. You've spread out these people to other workplaces and they're feeling positive about your company.
Yeah.
And, oh, look at that. We need some help with this. And suddenly you've got a contact between all where they've gone. It's like colonizing a new world.
Absolutely. This is a great analogy. I love that, because you're right. And you do see that happening. And again, I go to construction, for example. Sometimes people who have already left, then their colleague loses their job a few months later, and then they reach out and
away you go.
Yeah. So people help each other. So again, it creates what I like to think of as a bit of a virtuous circle or virtuous cycle.
Beautiful.
You know, and so people will help each other if they're feeling good and if they're feeling cared for. Like, it's just an enormous opportunity for a business of any size.
Imagine the feeling for an employee who's actually been outplaced, ended out in somewhere else, and then can come back to where they got thrown away from and said, we would like to offer you some work back. How about that? Because you treated me decently. It's quid pro quo.
It all works. And I mean, particularly in Christchurch, where I'm based, it's small. Everybody knows everybody. As I say to people, you know, your reputation precedes you. Now is not the time to start working on your reputation. Your reputation's been forming ahead of you for the last however long. So let's hope you've got a good one. And, you know, the reputation of the organisation too.
So I can feel employers right now and employees listening to you and hearing your passion.
Well, I am passionate about it.
And your knowledge. And so how do we get in touch with you?
Oh, well, we've got a website. Yeah, the CDL Insight website. So,
and so once they reach out to you, what's the first meeting?
So the first meeting would usually be with one of our business developers, and they will be the one to talk with the people in the organisation who are arranging the assistance. So usually that's a sort of comes through the human resource area. And then they will broker an arrangement, you know, what do you need? So then it's about assessing their areas of need.
And within CDL, there'll be all sorts of people with different abilities in different sectors. So
absolutely.
They'll get the right one, and they're all like you.
Yeah, and at the moment in particular, now in this new world, you know, of technology where we're all Zooming each other, suddenly geographical location has been, you know, become less relevant, less important. And so it's redeploying the best resource in the best place at the right time, and it can all be done via Zoom. And I think as well, there's real benefits there to the individuals sitting on the other side of the Zoom. They feel safer, they feel comfortable. Often they're in their own
homes.
Well,
you've made me feel very safe. And in a period of time full of considerable change and risk and threat and uncertainty, it's good to see that there are people out there trying to, you know, forge new futures for businesses and for individuals.
Well, I think it's really, really important. And I think it's a potentially large opportunity for New Zealand organisations to go there and actually go the next step. We talk about well-being in organisations all the time, but it goes way beyond providing fruit and yoga, you know, and bring your pet to work on a Friday. We actually have to look after people. We can't keep whipping people with a, you know, hitting them with a stick and expecting them to work. We need to actually start caring about people. And I think this is part of the duty of care, especially given that there's so much change all around us all the time, and people's need for certainty requires that they trust where they're at and who's employing them.
Beautifully said. You're awesome. If I get fired, can I come to you?
It would be my pleasure.
You can find me a new career. Kirsten Nicol from CDL Insight Consulting, thank you so much for your time today.
My pleasure.
So if you've enjoyed this episode, give us a 5-star rating and think about who else you know who might find it helpful. Remember, sharing is caring. And in the next episode, I'll be speaking with Jonathan Rogers from CDL Insight Consulting about making hard decisions kindly in a post-COVID New Zealand. So make sure to subscribe to the CDL People vs. Profit podcast. We're on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and you'll find the full series at cdlinsight.co.nz.